Let us pray. Bless the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be of profit to us and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Once again this week, I find it's the Old Testament that speaks strongest to me. The prophet Zechariah is one of the minor prophets, and he deals with the events after the return of the Jews to Jerusalem, and that's between 520 and 518 BC. In other words, a long, long time ago. And yet I think these words speak very clearly to us across the millennia. Zechariah, along with his contemporary Haggai, share the prophetic task of getting the people of Judah to rebuild the ruined temple in Jerusalem. And both of these men managed to get the people out of their preoccupation with the past and got them working together as a people of God. Zechariah was faced by a people who had lost confidence, had lost pride in who they were, in their identity. And they were in danger of losing their connection with their history. A glorious history, a history that included Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, and Isaiah among its numbers. They no longer saw themselves as being the heirs of these illustrious ancestors. And more than this, they were beginning to doubt whether they were the people of God. Zechariah, through his message and through his visions, forged a new people, and he gave them a new energy, a new purpose to their lives. He made them realize that God's long-term plan was being worked out through them. And Zechariah's message still works like this for us here today. We are God's people. God has chosen us. He's chosen us to work out his purpose in a world that seems no longer to have a language or a vocabulary for God. What is it that God wants us to do in this life? What model of behavior should we be following? Just what kind of a religion should we be practicing? In America, a religious magazine encouraged readers to submit letters telling the stories of people who lived out their faith every day. A large number of nominations were received, and the letters flooded in. The majority of these told of people who attended church regularly. They told of people who had given money to favorite charities. Many of them included newspaper cuttings that showed the dedication of the nominees to gathering money or giving to the church. The person who won the competition didn't fall into any of these categories. For a start, the letter nominating this winner was written in crayon. The letter contained no newspaper cuttings. The letter read like this: Anthony is my friend. Anthony is a plumber. He helps some people fix a house for my friend's family because their first house was burned down. Anthony visits my granny in her nursing home, and he makes her laugh with his stories, and he plays the harmonica too. Anthony is a lot like Jesus. I hope he wins, but if he doesn't, it won't matter, because Anthony will still be my friend. Love, Anne. What is it that God wants us to do in this life? How do we show our devotion to God? What kind of a religion should we practice? Hugely important questions. Some 500 years before the birth of Christ, there was a war. This was fought between the great city-state of Babylon and the new Persian Empire. as a result of this war, which was won by the Persians, the people of Israel found themselves free. They had been held slaves for years in Babylon. And now they found that they were free to return to their own country and start life over again. As is the case after all prolonged periods of war and suffering, it took some time for things to begin to get back to normal. The great city of Jerusalem was a disaster area. The temple, which had been destroyed some 70 years earlier, was only half rebuilt. And times were tough. The people didn't know what to do. Things had changed. And they were particularly exercised about what they should do about their religion. This is the background to our reading from Zechariah today. This then was a time of great uncertainty. It is also a time of change and uncertainty for us today as the church struggles for survival against the ever-increasing demands of a secular society. We read that the people approached the prophet and the priests and asked them a question. Should we fast and mourn in the fifth month of each year as we have done for so many years? Now, this is a question that doesn't seem to make much sense to us. After all, it's over 2,500 years since it was first posed. What they are basically asking is this: should we continue with the religious practices of our ancestors? Should we still mourn for the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple? Or should we perhaps be doing something else, something new, now that the city and the temple are in the process of being rebuilt? To us, looking at things from our time, the answer might seem obvious. Stop looking back to the past. Stop all this mourning and fasting. Look forward, celebrate, and thank God that things are getting back to normal. Initially, this is not Zechariah's response. Instead, he poses another series of questions to them. When you lamented and fasted in the fifth month and in the seventh month of each year, did you do it for God? And when you eat and drink now, are you only doing it for yourselves? Did God not tell you to do all of this back in the days long before Jerusalem was destroyed? In other words, back in the good old days. Then Zechariah goes on to tell the people, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another, do not oppress the widow, the orphan, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. This gives us a perfect answer to our questions. This is what God wants us to do. Render true judgments, show kindness, show mercy to one another, don't oppress people, don't oppress the poor, and do not think evil in your hearts against one another. Today, as we observe Remembrance Day in this church, that question is particularly appropriate, as is the answer. There are many, many people who would suggest that Remembrance Day is outmoded, that as a religious observance, it should no longer be practiced. After all, the First World War was declared 100 years ago. The time for remembering the sacrifices made in wars long, long ago is long since past. Instead, we should look to the future and get on with other things. Some people would even suggest that this service does nothing but glorify war and encourage people to think that what happened, all the death, all the carnage, was in some way acceptable. These people say, don't do this. Don't remember. Move on. This is misguided thinking. It's misguided because it equates the act of remembering the sacrifices made in the past with a glorification of war and suffering. Misguided because it considers honouring the memory of those who died in defence of their country with honouring the kind of actions they found themselves having to make in the midst of a struggle that none of them wanted to be part of. They fought because they believed in peace and in freedom. The peace and the freedom that God wants for all his people everywhere. Let's be quite clear, God has no part in man's inhumanity to man. The spirit that should underlie our service of remembrance is best summed up in the words of the poem In Flanders Field by John McCrae. In Flanders Field, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the lark still bravely singing flies, scarcely heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. Though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Remembrance Day is not just a time to fast and to mourn. It is not just a time to remember those who died. Still less is it a time to say that what happened was good or honourable. Rather, it is a time to remember the sacrifice of those who died for us. To remember why they did what they did. It's a time to remember the horror of war and to vow to ourselves to do everything in our power to ensure that it will never, ever happen again. It's a time to take up the torch and to dedicate ourselves to living in such a way that we do not break faith with those who died to bring peace to our world. It's a time to commit ourselves once again to the struggle against evil, the struggle against the very things that lead to war in the first place. When Zechariah responds to the people's question, "What shall we do? What religious practice should we follow at this time and in this place?" he didn't encourage them to mourn for Jerusalem as they had before. The days for such mourning are over. Instead, he tells them to love truth and peace. He reminds them of the promises made by God in the days of Moses and all the other prophets. Promises that said if you forgot God, if you failed to keep his commandments to love God and your neighbor, if you did evil and acted unkindly to those less fortunate, if you steal, if you lie, if you cheat, or if you take bribes and pervert justice and slander your neighbor, then you will not prosper. Your land will be destroyed, your men killed, and your women folk and children enslaved. This is how not to live life. But if you do good, if you care for the widow and the orphan, if you seek to follow God rather than seeking wealth, if you obey God's laws rather than worship success and seek popularity, if you are merciful to one another, then your land will prosper and you will live long and be happy. Today, these are the practices we are being asked to remember and follow by Zechariah and by Paul in his letter to the church at Thessalonica. These are the things that Remembrance Day asks us to call to mind as we remember and give thanks for those who died that we might have freedom today. What then shall we do? How shall we live? Take up the torch, hold it high, and don't break faith with those who have gone before. Live in the way that God means you to live, in freedom, with the intention of preserving that freedom by doing all that you can to ensure perpetual freedom and perpetual peace. And we can do this by doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. And if we can do this, then those who died in Flanders fields will and can rest easy. Amen. Thanks be to God.